Welcome to the Robin Comrade Show. Rob Sanders.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
Comrade Mike Dobreski.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
The Rob and Comrade Podcast.
Welcome into another edition of the Rob and Comrade Show, the podcast that divides the Palmetto State. I am Rob Sanders, your host. I represent the Clemson Tigers. We are champions in everything we do. Remember, the paw is a national brand. People see the paw, they know what it means. Jake Bentley sees the paw, he knows what it means. Jake Bentley, of course, plays for the University of South Carolina, which is the program that my co-host supports. He is a dirty Russian. He takes care of Vladimir Putin's horse. He does not use his left or right turn indicators. He is, of course, the comrade Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It is a great night, and it's opening day eve. It's my Christmas Eve, my Easter, my religious experience. Major League Baseball is back tomorrow. I cannot wait,
The comrade is, of course, a big baseball head. I mean, he is completely all in on that. I'm kind of excited. I'm going to tell him about our news for next week, Mike. We'll get into our patrons in a minute. But next week here in Columbia, we have the Forest Acres Classic, which is a nationally known baseball tournament. I mean, they got teams that come in from Ohio and all over the country that come to play in this tournament. AC Flora, which is a school here in the Midlands, hosts it. And part of my day job is to work with our Fox Sports Radio 1400 here in Columbia. And one of the few things I do throughout the year is, is I do play-by-play for the Forest Acres Classic. Now, I'm not the only one that does it. Christopher Thompson does it. Also, Kevin McCreary from Sports Talk fame. He does some play-by-play. Jonathan Reynolds. But we have to have some people, you know, you have a play-by-play guy and a guy that does some color on there next to you. And I managed to get one. I told him, I said, I'd like to have one game where I could bring my podcast partner in and he could do some color commentary, because I goof on the comrade a lot, but the guy does know baseball. He doesn't know anything about football, but he does know baseball. And I'm next Thursday at 3 o'clock. I just wanted one game, and they're like, no. We're going to roll out the red carpet. You, sir, are getting the championship game of the Forest Acres Classic, and it's Mike's first time doing color commentary as I do play-by-play, and his first game is the championship game for a national tournament.
Well, I told them I'm not showing up unless for the title game. Title game, I'm there. I'm not showing up for any other game.
That's crap.
I'm like, you know, Jim Nance. No, actually, he's a play-by-play guy. But I'm like, you know, you bring in the big guy. I want the big game. So I can't wait. It's going to be fun. Thursday. It's also Masters Thursday.
Yeah.
It's also opening day of the Fireflies season that day. So it's a great Thursday. It's a spring break Thursday for those of us who have kids in school or who may work in a school. And so it's been a cool day. And it looks like the weather will be perfect that day as well. So it should be a lot of fun.
It should be a lot of fun. And this is it's really weird because I goof on Mike a lot, but I expect Mike to get in there and hold his own. I really do. I mean, all jokes aside, I think he'll be able to. Now, I'm going to send him my notes because I'm working the tournament all week. So I have a general idea of the players and the coaches, etc. But I think Mike's going to do a good job next week. I really, really do. But I'm really looking forward to that. And we have more big news, Mike. I posted it on my Facebook page earlier today. I finally, this is something that's been in the works for a while, but I finally got the approval from the iHeartMedia corporate offices. And I, only me, obviously, can't have a comrade because his day job won't allow it. But I'm getting my own sports talk radio show right here in Columbia on Fox Sports Radio 1400. It's going to be something that I've worked a long time to try to get. I mean, I've been on the air doing stuff for about 15 years now, but I've worked with Jonathan Rush and Kelly Nash and all kinds of other great people and produced stuff and worked behind the scenes, and I had my own public affairs show, but this is just the Rob show, which could end up being an abysmal failure, but I think I'm going to put on a good show. It's going to air every day from 3 to 4, and you mentioned the Fireflies there, Mike. Fox Sports Radio 1400 is your home for the Fireflies, so throughout the summer, you can listen to me at 3 o'clock from 3 to 4, and then from 4 to 6, you can listen to show patron Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. His show will be live then, and then you can catch a Fireflies game. So from 3 o'clock on, you can listen to some good radio there, and it's going to be streamed to live on the iHeartRadio app, and it's going to be really, really good. Now, I have to remember that I don't have the comrade there to lean on because, let's be honest, this is a two-person show. There are some nights where I can go on forever by myself, but then there are nights when I need the comrade. I need his opinion on some stuff. So getting an hour together a day is going to be interesting. I know it's something that will grow. I'm hoping that I can take some of the folks that listen here and hopefully you'll come and listen to my live show Monday through Friday. And if the comrade will join me during the summer when he has some time off, he's more than welcome to come sit in studio with me. And those shows, I assure you, will be vicious, especially with the two of us facing each other. Holy crap. But anyway, I'm really excited about that today, and I don't want to bore you guys with a bunch of crap, but I just wanted to get it out there because that's a big part of my life, and it's something that I've worked a long time for. When I started this podcast, I didn't know if I could carry a show. I really didn't. But when we started it, it just kind of flowed and just came to me, so I started getting the stuff together to go and do my own show. And I have to thank Mike because, you know, without Mike, there would be no podcast. Without me, there would be no podcast. But the point is that he's helped me with the growing pains and helped me get my feet wet, putting my own stuff out there. And Mike, I appreciate it, sir. So thank you.
Well, congratulations. And of course, you know, you've kind of told me about this, man, a few months ago that it may be in the works, but it wasn't official. And, you know, so I'm glad it's finally official today. And you kind of went public with it on Facebook. I know that it looked good a few days ago. So, but a huge deal. And I definitely will come join you when I have the time, my schedule permits. So that's probably summer or kind of some vacation times that I will definitely join the studio. So, but yeah, the whole podcast idea worked out well because I had done some podcasts before. I didn't have the technological wizardry that Rob does, being it's his full-time job as a producer. And then, of course, Rob wanted to do his own podcast as well. And so it kind of worked out that we could do it together in terms of that. And so it's been fun. So it's cool now that you have your own show. And I'm gonna call in sometimes, too. And I'm coming home from my job. You know, I might give a quick call in and harass you a little bit maybe, but I'll definitely join you in the studio, you know, once in a while. Maybe we'll have like a weekly thing where I can join you in the summertime. We'll see how that works.
That's, that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that I can bring you in studio because that would be awesome.
But I do want to say one thing about the Fireflies, though. Those of you who have not listened to the Fireflies on the radio, I urge you to listen. Kevin Fitzgerald is their play-by-play guy.
He's good.
And trust me, I am shocked that he's back for another year because he is really, really good, and he won't be here much longer. Okay, nothing against the Fireflies.
Why don't you tell him where he went to school, Mike?
Well, he went to Syracuse, and I'm not trying to kiss
Syracuse. No, I'm just picking. But, I'm just saying, Syracuse is a If you're listening to somebody that's on sports radio that does play-by-play, and they tell you they're from Syracuse, that is a big deal. There, some big names have come out of Syracuse. The first name I think of is Andrew Siciliano, who works for the NFL Network. But, I mean, there is a long list of people.
Bob Costas,
that have worked – that were Syracuse students and move on in to doing play-by-play and stuff like that. So the fact that he is here, Mike Tirico,
I mean, it's like it's kind of like you find find the guys on the radio or TV who didn't go to Syracuse. It's more like you know, kind of a weird thing. But he's really good. Like, and I love play-by-play on the radio.
Yeah,
like, but like I will sit there. I have the Major League Baseball app on my phone, and I get to get all the games on TV. But a lot of times, I like going to the gym, and a lot of times I do it for superstitious reason too. And I'll go ahead and go to the gym and listen to the game on the radio. I have it on TV. I can watch it on my phone, but I love the radio broadcast of the game and the good ones. There's some bad ones now around Major League Baseball, okay? And the really good ones are really good. And Kevin Fitzgerald is really good. You listen to him, and you go, how come this guy's doing – nothing is the Fireflies, but single-A baseball.
Right.
And I thought for sure that last year would be the last year. And I kept on waiting for an announcement to come because Kevin also does all the media stuff for my credentials. He's the guy that gets me the credentials and all that stuff too. And he is really, really good. And I'm actually working on a podcast, a baseball podcast. I'm going to have him on as a guest to talk about that stuff. But if you have a chance, you're in Columbia and you have the radio on, put it on the Fireflies game and just listen to him. He is really good because I think within about 5 years or so, he'll have a big job working somewhere. Whether it be he's done ESPN games this past year, by the way, some ESPN college basketball games.
But he's
going to have like a good job where he's going to be one of those guys that has a national job that works for either a big time baseball team, works for a network, and you'll say, oh, yeah, that guy was in Columbia for a while. So,
well, and it's funny you mentioned that. Let me get our patrons out of the way first, and then I'll tell you a quick story. Story time with Rob. The patrons of our show, Lawton Swan. I am now the lead-in for the Lawton Swan Show. I am going to be bringing people in to listen to the Lawton Swan Show. We were joking about that when I did some time on the air with him today. So, proud to call him one of our first supporters. He's a patron of the show. Also, Thomas Dana Young and Kevin Willis. Jamie Phillips, Tabitha Sims, and Robert Knight. We thank the patrons of our show. They believe in us. Pledge about $1 a month. If you want to do that, go to robincomrade.com. Everything will be right there. Now, and it'll show you how you can become a patron. Now, you mentioned about broadcasters and stuff like that. It's funny because I do sportscasts I did them for a while for the South Carolina Radio Network, and I was all over the place with Phil Kornblut. But then I've always done them for WVOC here in Columbia. And it's funny because you remember Mike Morgan, right?
I love Mike Morgan.
Well, Mike Morgan used to be the sports director for WVOC. The guy that was the sports director before Mike Morgan is Jim Powell, who is the play-by-play man for the Braves Radio Network. And it's funny because when I walk into that studio, it sounds cheesy, but it's like, you know, you better get your stuff together, Rob, because there have been some great broadcasters that have come through these studios and have moved on to some great, great stuff. But it's just so cool when I look at that and I'm like, this is the same, you know, same studio that Mike Morgan worked in, Jim Powell, and a slew of other guys that have moved on to bigger and better radio jobs. So obviously the podcast is not going anywhere. When I did my my talks with them, I told them I'm not giving up the podcast. And I think that may have been the sticking point for a while. They didn't tell me, but I'm not giving up the podcast. This is what I love the podcast, and as long as this dirty Russian decides that he wants to keep doing it, we are going to continue doing it. We have sponsors for our podcast that love us and have paid up for a while, and we're going to keep keep them going as well. A couple of things from Facebook Live, which I will be doing my hour-long show on Facebook Live every day. So you can watch me in studio, but I'll send out some stuff about that. N. Todd Price wants to know if you can stream the show. Yes, sir, you can. And it's going to be on the iHeartRadio app. You can catch it live every day. I will send out Facebook messages when I start, also on Twitter and everything else. But it is in the infancy. But by the time I go live on April the 9th, we should be good to go. Comrade mentioned he's going to call into the show. You know who else is going to call in, right, Mike? That would be that? Our buddy, Cale Hall. Oh, you know Cale is going to be listening up in wherever it is he lives in the upstate. And I've already called him and told him I want Cale to be one of my first callers. I really do. Just because of the kind of guy Cale is and how much he loves radio and stuff like that. So ultra excited about that, not to ramble on too much, but it is a big deal, and it's a big deal for the show because we're going to bring more people into the show because they're going to hear my radio show and then tune in here. So it may mean more people want to kill the comrade. That's part of it. The bigger the base, the more people that may end up hating him, and more death threats for both of us. By the way, there was someone on Facebook today that I was commenting on something, and somebody's like, Rob, you're not catching all what this guy's saying, right? No. And they're like, do you have him blocked? And I was like, there is no one on my blocked Facebook list. Mike, are you the same way? I don't have anybody blocked. I can't do it.
Yeah, my goal is to get people to block me. I don't block people, so.
Well, so I have a guy that blocked me and was trying to carry on a conversation, and he couldn't see what I was saying, and I couldn't see what he was saying, so it was just really weird. But, you know, it's going to be an interesting show, and I'm looking forward to it. And I've got several things I want to get into this evening, Mike, but the first thing is, you know what? I was supposed to write something for Dennis Wilson for DNC Trucking and Transport.
That's right. You didn't say anything.
I have been busy as all get out. Dennis normally doesn't let the comrades spin, and I will make sure that we make that up. Dennis, I hope, is not mad at me. Dennis is one of our big supporters of the show. He loves the show, and it's kind of funny because at one point, Dennis wanted to hurt the comrade. They hated each other. Now they're buddies. It's kind of funny, right, Mike?
We're best friends. We're brothers from another mother. That's all we are.
Well,
separated by just you know from New York to Swansea. That separation. That's it.
Otherwise, I tell you what, man.
We couldn't be family.
He wants to take you snipe hunting. Are you gonna go?
Snipe hunting? I haven't heard this now. This is no, I have not
no,
heard
he
that.
Wants,
sure.
He wants to take you snipe hunting, man. It's going to be awesome. I'll go with you. I don't care. We'll all go snipe hunting. Yeah, we're all going to go snipe hunting. He's got this big hay field, and we're going to go snipe hunting. It'll be awesome. But we'll get into that later. But thanks to Dennis Wilson from DNC Trucking and Transport. Also, Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia. I've decided that Cheddar Bob is going to be one of my football analysts. Now, you may laugh, but Cheddar Bob, generally, Mike, the smartest people on a football team are the quarterbacks and the...
You asked me a question?
Yeah.
Oh, the linemen?
The linemen. Yes. Offensive linemen are generally the smartest guys on the team. And Cheddar Bob was an offensive lineman for the Gamecocks, so he's going to come in on Fridays with me and break some stuff down. So, but in addition to that, you can go to Callaway's out in West Columbia, 2460 Augusta Highway, right there on Highway 1, diagonal from the Walmart. You can play some Power Putt Live, Golden Tee Golf, pool tables, foosball, all kinds of great stuff at Callaway's. Go tell Cheddar Bob hi. You can see his Gamecock jersey hanging in the rafters up there, which is kind of cool. He's going to frame my Robin Comrade Clemson shirt and put it up there. That's going to happen.
That'll be great.
Yeah, that's going to be horrible. Anyway, but shout out to Cheddar Bob, Billy Muse, his brother, Ashley Lee, Rachel, the bartenders out there. They all love the Robin Comrade Show, and they support the show. Now, Mike, the first thing I want to get into this evening, you posted something the other day, and it kind of set the Facebook world on fire.
Oh,
and it was
yes.
basically the do you have the tweet from Tom Luginbill? Can you read it? Or do I need to pull it up? I'll pull it up.
I can pull it up here. I tweet too much crap.
But
that,
it's from Tom Luginbill, yeah. And it was about the let's see here. I've got it right here.
Okay.
And I'm pulling it up right now. But basically he was talking about the Gamecock offense. Now he is Tom Luginbill apparently is like, it says he's a recruiting guy, but he also does like stuff for the SEC network. So let me see if I can pull up this here tweet because
I've
it's
got
actually
it.
Really
it.
Funny.
I've got it. I found it.
Oh, you got it?
Yep.
All right, read away because this is hilarious.
It says, I've never, and never is all capitalized, N-E-V-E-R, okay? I've never seen a Will Muschamp offense like this. ... No lie. You would have thought they were old school Oregon with their tempo. And that's the quote. That is the quote. So all I did was take that. I don't think I even made a comment on it. I think I just took that quote and put it on the Facebook pages, and I just left it there. Didn't make a comment, I don't believe. Just kind of put it there. And holy crap, the taters were like, well, this, oh, what
first,
do you do this?
You got to admit, know? First, though, the first thing you did was text me with it.
Yeah.
And I laughed hysterically. But I knew as soon as you posted that it was just going to be trouble. My question to you, Mike, is, look, we're going to the spring game on Saturday, and you can meet us out there. We're going to be at East Coast Metal Distributors, the corner of Rosewood and Bluff, right there near where Jayco's used to be. I am braving and going down to the ghetto. Dennis Wilson has agreed to come with me, so we're going to have two big burly Clemson guys there. And Dennis has a Kevlar vest for me. Also, I've got my steel toe boots. That way I don't step on any dirty syringes or anything as I walk around the ghetto. So
if you want to come out and join us and don't know where it is, just put in your GPS, Heaven on Earth. If you put that in there, it will direct you right in the area. That's what I do if I can't find my way. I just put down Heaven on Earth and it directs me in that area. So if you can't find it, that's a little tip for you.
Yeah. All right. Well, Kale Hall joins us online and says that checking out a real offense. I hate to break it to you guys, but you don't really have, I mean, you got Debo Samuel coming back. That's going to help your offense, but you didn't really bring in some offensive linemen to help you. You know, isn't that kind of important, Mike, or am I just stupid?
Well, we've got some guys back from the line, but you know, listen, first of all, you know, I don't want to sit here, okay? I mean, like, I really hope that this offense takes off this year, okay? I like what I've heard from the new quarterback coach, Warner, okay? I just like what he says. You know, now obviously he might turn up to be crap, but he has a pretty good track record from past offenses he's been involved with. I like the idea that he's working with Bentley. I like the idea he's a kind of a sounding board for McClendon. I like the idea that you have, you know, a lot of voices there. I like the idea that he's trying to go up tempo, all this stuff. And the reason why they're going up tempo, by the way, Will Muschamp brought this up, speaking of the line, is the reason why you go up tempo is really to protect your offensive line. The idea is if you go up tempo.
Slow down.
Yeah.
I said that last year.
Okay.
You got to remember me saying that.
No,
you should go up tempo.
I remember you saying four and eight. I remember saying that.
You know what? Your brain's on crack.
I said
you should go up tempo because that can mask the fact that you have an offensive line that sucks.
And that's what we're going to do. Well, I don't think it's just easier. Like, see, me, like, you know, listen, and I have to get used to this idea, okay? I'm kind of old school offense. I believe
right.
I like
that's exactly what you said to me when I said you should go up tempo because your line sucks, but keep going.
I know, but like, you know, what still bothers me, and it will trigger me this year as well,
right,
is when it's third down and short, I can't stand going in the shotgun and handing the ball off. That just seems ridiculous to me, okay?
Look,
and so last year, towards the end of the year, I believe it was the – what game was it? Good Lord. But we actually got under center and third and short and gave it to hand off to Denson there and just – like, I mean, I almost got, you know, aroused because, like, that's how you play football. But I don't mind the up-tempo stuff and the shotgun stuff. Just I want to have a short yardage package where you're on third and one, you go up the line of scrimmage, you bring in two tight ends, you bring in a fullback, and you just go, I'm going to beat you now. So sometimes we get a little too tricky. So I understand that this is the way of the idea, the way of the world, the way that things are changing. But I do like the idea that when you go up-tempo, what you're doing is you're limiting your exposure for not having as good of an offensive line up front. Okay, so this is good when you're playing teams who have the advantage of you up front. Okay, so it helps kind of mask it a little bit while we kind of get better guys up front. So I like that idea there too. It doesn't really fit well though, Will, with Will Muschamp's defense. This is why Will Muschamp, if you're a defensive guy, what you want to have is your offense have the ball a long time and keep your defense on the field and play field position. This kind of offense isn't like that. You can have a lot of three and outs real quick where you take off, you know, 10 seconds of the clock and your defense on the field like nonstop. So I think that's one of the things that Muschamp will have to kind of adjust to. But, you know, I hope it works. I really do. But I like the idea of the new quarterback coach. He's saying the right things, and we'll see what happens. We'll see. We won't know anything until the Georgia game.
You're right.
It's Coastal Carolina, you know, and you're not going to see anything in the spring game. I hate to break this to everybody who's excited for the spring game, but you're not going to see anything in the spring game that's going to, you know, change your opinion either way. So we'll see.
Well, and Kale Hall Online says you don't necessarily have to have a great O-line to go fast. You're right, Kale. You can have a crappy offensive line and go fast. But speaking of lining up under center and just doing something like that, Deshaun Watson's freshman year, we had a game against Florida State where it's fourth down and one on like the Florida State 28, and we're down by 6 points or whatever it was. And we're in the shotgun, and as soon as we were in the shotgun, I'm yelling, I'm pissed. But the funny thing after that game was that they asked the offensive coordinator, whose name slips my head, Morris. Yeah, and they asked him about it, and he point blank didn't blink, just said, "Look, that's our offense. We're gonna run our offense that way. We don't have, you know, a two tight end set where, you know, we can line up and do that." He goes, "Our tight ends are basically big receivers." And I remember him saying that, and I'm like, "We needed one freaking yard.
Yeah,
what are you doing? You know?"
And I remember that play. I remember that play vividly, and even that play triggered me. Just my football sense, like I can't stand when teams do that. But of course, after he got stopped, I laughed and said, "What an idiot he is." But I also realized that our offensive coordinator is an idiot too. Is the same thing. And here's the thing: most teams do that, okay? And so it's not like when my friend and I we complain back and forth over text messages. I explained to him that we're not the only thing that does that, okay? It's just it seems worse for us because we watch every damn play and dissect it. But most schools do it that way now, and it drives me absolutely crazy. And I just don't understand. I know it's your offense. I know Chad Morris's idea there, but you can't have a package, you know, a goal line. Like, go back to the 80s, okay? And you had the high-flying Dolphins and the 49ers, the West Coast defense, the West Coast offense, the 49ers, they threw the ball. Okay, when they got third down and short, you know what they did? They brought two tight ends in, brought a fullback in, and ran the ball. Okay, that wasn't their offense. Their offense was West Coast offense, up-tempo, Dan Marino with the Dolphins, throw the ball around. That was their offense. But guess what? On third and short, you know what their offense was? We're bringing in two tight ends, a fullback, and running the ball up the middle. I mean, so that whole reason makes no sense to me. But it will happen this year, and it will drive me nuts. And even when we get the first down, I still get mad because we'll get the first down, not because we're, you know, not that we get lucky, but it's like you can see all the things that can go wrong on that play. You're stabbing the ball deep in the backfield. You got to go ahead and hand the ball off. I remember that one game against Georgia a few years ago. We did some option pitch thing that we threw, behind the running back on third and short or fourth and short, which turned the whole game around. We lost. Like, that drives me nuts. Why make it so damn difficult? Just line up and do that. And if they stop you, they stop you. That's on you. That's on your line. Got beat. Okay, you should be able to get a yard or a half a yard for a first down. If you don't, then your line needs to be you know, in there. So you can just fall forward and sustain a block for a little bit and to get that yard. So it will drive me nuts this year. It always will drive me nuts until at some point it shifts back to how the offenses were when I was a kid. Then it won't. But that just drives me absolutely crazy.
Speaking of our Facebook Live audience, Kale Hall wants to know if that's the game where someone sent death threats to the center. I think so, Kale.
That was it.
I don't try to hide or whatever, but yeah. Run and shoot offense.
Like whenever a Clemson fan talks about their fan, like when they always when anything happens with our fan base, okay, when some moron from our fan base that does something stupid, like flips off a player or does something, and the Clemson fan base will wax poetically about, oh, we don't, our fan base is the best. I always will go to my phone, and it's like it's on my Google. I'm like, when I Google things, it saves your searches, okay? And I just type in death threats to Clemson player, and it pops up. I get the link, boom. I put in the Facebook thing. I go, there you go. Well, I'm not saying that we haven't had any. I go, okay, just stop with the whole how your fan base. Okay, you have people in your fan base who are dumbasses too. Every fan base has it. Please stop the whole, oh, our fan base is such classy people. Your fan base has been classy lately because you've been winning. When you win, you get real classy, okay? Because you don't boo your players because you're winning. You don't throw stuff at other players because you're winning. However, when you were losing, when you were getting beat by the Gamecocks, you threw stuff at Gamecock players. Or you flipped off the camera on ESPN, you're losing. That's what happens, okay? When you lose, the bad apples of your fan base show themselves. Taj Boyd had his house toilet papered around, okay? That's what happens, okay? So the reason why your fan base seems classy right now is because you've won like 800 games out of the last 803 you played. That's what happens. I'd be real classy too if my team won every week. Oh yeah, you know.
When you guys had your run or whatever, when you were winning 9-10 games a year, you were a jerk then.
Okay, that's different. I'm not talking about my little online trash talk.
You were a jerk.
No. I'm talking about fan bases in general. The stadium.
There are still people that hate you from freaking 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
trust me. If the Gamecocks were where Clemson was right now, if we just reversed it, okay? If the Gamecocks had been the three straight playoff appearances, okay? If the Gamecocks baseball team had won four in a row, all this stuff right now, I probably would not be alive right now. I would not be alive because Clemson, someone would come and kill me. Like, even right now, even with all the stuff that Clemson has over us right now, okay? I still get people going crazy on Facebook, and it cracks me up that they get that mad when they have this huge, like, everything is going their way. I mean, I don't know what deal you made with the devil, but good Lord. And I'm not saying you're not good, but you guys get a lot of breaks, and everything could have been bouncing your way. And even then, I get Clemson fans who want to kill me. I can't imagine if it was reversed right now that, like, really, I probably would have my house bombed. I probably would have to move my family. Okay, because during the five in a row, when we first started the trash talk stuff at the end of the five, it was like kind of last year, that calendar year beforehand, people hated me, like really, really hated me, all because I had to say things like high five. Hey, it was like, you know, I was freaking up the last five in a row, and they wanted me dead. And so it's just comical to me, really comical.
It was pretty bad. I know somebody who owns a trucking service who will remain unnamed that had, like, you know, an entire dump truck load full of chicken crap that was searching for the comrade's house. We won't name him here. But that's real. That's how much hatred this idiot's got.
His name rhymes with Dennis Bilson, I heard.
Okay. Well, we won't try to out people on the show, but that did happen. There is some hatred there for the comrade. All right, Mike, you know what? I'll give you my opinion on this real quick. I think that it's great that they're doing something different with the offense because, let's be honest, even if I step away with my orange-colored glasses here for a moment and I look just at the numbers, you went from 99th to 104th in offense. Jake Bentley looks like he's regressed from his freshman year. If you look at the tape, he just looks like he's just got happy feet and... you need to try something different. Now, I don't know if the up-tempo offense is something that Bentley, with the tools that he does have, is going to be capable of running. Now, I do think this is something that could be good for the Gamecock offense because it does mask the fact that your offensive line is really bad. And the only way you can get that offensive line better, in my opinion, is recruiting. And when Clemson started making the turn where they started winning more and more games is when Dabo Swinney made a decision that we're going to recruit the line first. And it started with defensive linemen and then the offensive linemen. And there you go. It just and then all of a sudden, once you start winning in the trenches, it just makes life easier. And then I think that's what's going to happen for the Gamecocks, if they start recruiting linemen. Now, I think Will Muschamp is a dumb coach, and he may not do that. I do think he wants better speed on the defensive line, because I do know this about Muschamp. He can coach defense. His offensive, he's never put a good offense on the field, but hopefully he will do the smart thing and just huddle up with that defense and not even look at the offense. That's the best thing Will Muschamp can do, and let McClendon just run it. And hopefully McClendon has a good enough mind where the Gamecocks can put up some points. If not, you know, it's just going to be the same old show. You may go 9-3, 9-4, whatever, but you're not going to take that next step and get into the Clemson, Alabama area until you fix your problems on the line.
Well, I'm going to give Muschamp credit, first of all, because the fact that, you know, he's willing to put his ego aside and try what, you know, he thinks may work offensively, okay? This type of offense does not help his defense, okay?
No.
This is not, you know, if you're a defensive coach and which he is, and known as a defensive genius, which he is, your ego will say, listen, I'm going to run the offense. I want the offense run like this to help my defense, okay? And he's not doing that. So I give him credit for that because he knows that it didn't work in Florida. And so I think, you know, a person who can notice that their mistakes made in the past and try to fix them is impressive to me. And that's why I think we got the right hire, the right guy, and that we're going to be okay. You know, so I think he's recruiting linemen. It's just trying to get them here, okay? It's not like, you know, he's sitting there saying, it's not like he's got five-star linemen come up to him. He's like, right. You know what? Well, we don't really have room for you. I'm trying to get a receiver.
Can you imagine? So, I mean, if he would have, let's just flip the script here for a second. Let's say that he was able to pull Jackson Carman, which is the mammoth offensive tackle that Clemson picked up out of Ohio. There was an Ohio State lean. I think he would start for the Gamecocks tomorrow. He just finished his mat drills, and if you look at this kid, he's a massive, massive individual. Imagine if he could have flipped that and flipped Xavier Thomas to come there, or even KJ Henry, the young man from North Carolina. Now, I mentioned Thomas because Thomas did have, he did give them a visit. Carman didn't, but imagine if you could get a couple of guys like that, the difference it would make. The problem is, though, is that it takes probably two or three recruiting classes to fix it. Now, We joke about South Carolina being JUCO U. One option is to try to find something off of the JUCO pile. And what I mean by that is that you're looking for, you remember Jasper and Casper Brinkley, right?
Yeah.
Those guys were JUCO guys. Jasper Brinkley was a freaking beast. I think he's still playing in the NFL somewhere, but he would light you up in a nanosecond. So I do give Muschamp credit for that, where he's trying to go and get some help that way. But in the end, you got to recruit the line. I know getting quarterbacks and stuff like that is important, but if your offensive line sucks, it doesn't matter. You're not going to win very many games. So I do like what he's doing with this offense, though, because you may. I think that running this offense last year, if you would have jumped up, say, 15 spots, you would probably win. You definitely win the Kentucky game last year. You probably win the Texas A&M game. All of a sudden, you're looking at an 11-2 season, something like that. The point is that he's trying to mask that offensive line, and I can give Muschamp credit for that. That's a good idea. I don't know if long-term it's going to be the right thing, because when you do run an up-tempo offense, you need different kinds of receivers to make it work. Bryan Edwards is a big receiver. He's a possession receiver, but you're going to need like a burner on the end. We don't know if Deebo Samuel is how well he's going to be. And let's be honest, how hard is he going to play? I mean, if I'm a Gamecock fan, I'm thinking about that. How hard is this young man going to go? Is he really going to try to plant and do the things that he needs to do, that he knows that he can do? Or is he going to think, you know what, I'm going to go through the motions, put up some numbers when I can, but I don't want to get hurt again. Because if I get hurt one more time, it's almost like the three strikes and you're out thing with the NFL general managers. He could probably go from a second round pick to a fifth round pick if he has another issue with a hamstring or whatever, because they're going to be like, this kid can't stay on the damn field. I mean, you know what I'm saying? So I say that because you need somebody like an Artavis Scott or somebody that can catch some passes in the flat and get you a couple of yards here and there. I don't know if the Gamecocks have that yet, but we'll find out.
I think guys like Shai Smith, I think he's going to step up this year. I think he's the guy who's explosive, who can, if you get the ball in his hands, he can make a guy miss and go all the way. And, of course, Debo's that way too. So I think they have enough weapons to do that. And I think Deebo, you know, listen, if you don't play 100%, you're going to get hurt more. If you go out there and try to not get hurt, that's when you get hurt. So I don't think I'm worried about that. You know, he's returning cookoffs this year. Muschamp mentioned he's in the mix to return punts. I don't think he will. I think you want to give him some kind of a rest, because you don't want to expose him too much. We're doing kickoffs and punt returns and, you know. So, but he's a big factor. Hopefully he can stay healthy. We need him. If he would have stayed healthy last year, I think it makes a difference. He got hurt in the Kentucky game, in the first quarter of the Kentucky game. I think he makes a difference in that game right there. We'll see. But, you know, Bentley's a big key. And we mentioned this last year. You know, I'm not sure, you know, if regression is the right word. But confidence-wise, something happened during the season where he lost his confidence. And he was trying to aim the football instead of throwing the football. His freshman year, he was throwing the football.
Right. A perfect example is that pick six he threw against Clemson. He was trying to float that ball over Carter's head there, and if another couple of inches, and that ball is in Edwards' hands, and Edwards is off to the races. But he tried to aim it too much. Carter jumped the route, picked it off, and ran it back. But that's a perfect example.
Yeah. And he did that a lot last year, and he had the NC State game. He put a great game. I mean, in terms of throwing the football, he was throwing the football and throwing the football, and with accuracy. I mean, the pass, the Deebo on that pass was perfect. And right. So And so he has the talent. Something happened with his confidence, and maybe it was the fact that he was getting hit a lot. And when you get hit a lot as a quarterback, you it screws. That's why it's so important to put pressure on the quarterback. When you put pressure on the quarterback, not just sacks, but you do that, you get in any quarterback's head. I don't care who you are. I mean, every quarterback, they say, oh, you got to put pressure up the middle. Tom Brady is one of the great quarterbacks of all time. When Tom Brady struggles is when he gets pressure up the middle and he gets a pass rush, and suddenly Tom Brady gets skittish in the pocket. Everyone does. Yep. And so maybe that was it. Maybe it was the fact that he didn't have confidence in his line, and all of a sudden now you start to kind of – try to get rid of the ball quicker than you want to. And you start missing some passes. You start aiming the ball. So hopefully the offseason, okay, he can reset himself, get some confidence, and he'll be back to throwing the football. He's got a new quarterback coach now. Hopefully that's going well. And, so maybe we'll get back to seeing what he was like his freshman year. But the NC State game was really good. He also played well in the it was the Missouri game.
Right.
Made some really good throws. Missouri game.
Well,
made some, if you can get back to that, because a lot of times he missed some guys who were open. And then on some passes, guys were wide open, and he would complete the pass, but he would complete the pass in a way where the receiver couldn't run with the ball afterwards.
Right.
It was a bad, so those are things.
He didn't hit him in stride.
Just pretty glaring last year.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing with that. He was better in the Missouri game and better in the NC State game for a couple of reasons. Roper had him in max protect. He had Hayden Hurst back there as an extra blocker, and Hurst would pick up whoever was coming up the middle, and that gave him that extra little bit of second to throw there. The games where he didn't play well were games where Hurst, in my opinion, was more of a primary receiver instead of as an extra blocker. Now, I think you're going to miss Hurst this season. I mean, it's hard to say you're not when, this young man has the potential. He may get drafted in the first round of the draft. It's hard to replace that kind of player quickly. Now, getting Samuel back could be good for the game. I mean, it should be good for the Gamecocks. He is a playmaker, but it's just going to be interesting. I'm kind of excited to see how they're going to run this up tempo. Luganville said it looked like Oregon. Are they going to try to do what Clemson does with some of the stuff up there? I don't know. So I'm really looking forward to that as we head to the spring game on Saturday. Our live show starts at 10 o'clock. We will do 1 hour. We'll try to break down as much as we can, but then we're going to pack up and Dennis is making me go. Dennis Wilson is making me go into the spring game, and I'm going to watch some of it. I'm with you. I don't think they're going to show us anything. I think they're going to run vanilla blah bull crap. Yeah.
Well, and hopefully they do. I'll be mad if they come out and show the offense, because one of the advantages you have, okay, so the big game early in the year is Georgia. It's week two, okay? And so the advantage you have on Georgia right now is the fact that they don't really know what your offense is like. I mean, they hear the stuff up tempo. You have a new offensive coordinator, a new quarterback coach. They're not sure. They can look at film from last year, but that's not going to do – what's that going to tell them? And so the idea is the unknown. And so I wouldn't show anything in the spring game. I would try to not show anything in the Coastal game. Hopefully we don't have to win that game. And then you come to the Georgia game, and now you let your full offense rip, and maybe you get a touchdown or two on Georgia because they're just not prepared for it, and that could be the difference in the game, and maybe you pull the upset there, which could really springboard the season forward and try to win the East. So if I'm the guy, I hope they don't. So I hope they come out. I hope they come out and do two tight ends and just play like they're the 1986 New York Giants. The spring game, and now of course we'll have people on Twitter from the Gamecocks. Our offense looks so vanilla because they're too dumb to realize that what they're doing. But I hope they don't show anything. I mean, the spring game, listen, it's fun. I understand people go, but it is meaningless. Okay, what's meaningful is the actual spring practices. And so what I try to find out is from people who go down to practices, people who I have some context inside, not as many used to find out who's looking good in spring practice. Ideally, I would love to inject all the coaches with truth serum and then tell me about spring practice. What are your concerns? What are you happy about? That's what I would like to hear more than anything else, okay? Of course, Muschamp's going to tell you about all the guys who are playing well. But, you know, that's a lot of talk. But the spring practices are very important. But the actual game, it's an exhibition. They're not going to show you anything. The whole, you know, it's nothing. I know that a lot of fans watch the game and want to get all into the, you know, breaking it down. And, you know, I got an argument last year with a Clemson fan who broke down the spring game and thought, you know, I'm like, are you really thinking the spring game's going to tell you anything? I mean, it's just not that important.
You know, I agree with you on that. And the first thing I think of is Rendrick Taylor. Rendrick Taylor was they were trying to make him like a running back of all kind of stuff up at Clemson. He dominated spring games, but was horrible when we got to August. So the spring game doesn't mean much. It is kind of cool to go out and check it out, though. So, but
it's fun. I mean, I mean, I'm not saying don't go to spring games. I'm just saying go there to, you know, enjoy the day, to see some football, to, you know, to see some players, maybe get some autographs, things, you know, and to, you know, enjoy the atmosphere. But don't go there with the idea, okay, we're going to find out how good this team is this year. Like that's you're not going to learn anything about how good they're going to be. I mean, because first of all, if the offense looks really good, well, is it the offense looks good or does the defense look bad? If the offense struggles, well, is the offense struggling? Or you're playing against your own team, guys. Like, it's not like you are scrimmaging against another team, okay? It's not like preseason football where, you know, even that's meaningless. But maybe in preseason football, you can kind of have an idea of the first quarter. Okay, our starters beat their starters, you know. But, you know, so it's just if you're going to break down the game, like, you know, some way to give you some insight into the season. Now, I hate to break it to you, but that's not going to happen. Just enjoy it for what it's worth.
In Todd Price says spring games where backups become superstars. I think we all agree that's pretty much right. So come join us for the spring game down at South Carolina this Saturday. The Comrade and I will go live at 10 o'clock. We will and we are at the tailgate home of Wendy Wyatt, one of our Facebook mamas. She loves us, so looking forward to doing a show down there for the spring game. Now, a couple of things before we get out of here, Mike. Actually, I got three things. We're going to go quick here because we're running a little long. But the South Carolina women fell to Connecticut. Connecticut is a freaking machine. I mean, it's insane what Connecticut is doing, Mike. I mean, they're 36-0. I don't see anybody beating them. I mean, they are just the cream of the crop in women's hoops. Wouldn't you agree, Mike?
They are. I mean, I could see Notre Dame beating them maybe. The problem with this, I hate to be like sour grapes guy, but like it just seems when we play them, they play their best game of the year.
Yep.
Like they hit 9 of 10 from 3-point range to start things out.
Right.
Okay. Like, it's just, that's not like normal. And so it seems like, you know, obviously they're a better team than we are. So in order to beat them, you need to have them play an average game. We play our best game. Like Mississippi State last year. Like Mississippi State and the Gamecocks are very similar teams. We beat them for the title last year. And so Mississippi State beat them last year. And then, you know, but UConn kills us. And so what happens is UConn, for whatever reason, they see Dawn Staley and they can't miss a shot. Okay, and so, you know, it was just like you kind of sit there and threw up your hands and watched the first quarter going, unbelievable. They're playing their A game. Even Gino was like smiling, like just kind of disbelief about like how great they play. Like, yeah, he goes, and it's just like one of those things. So I think Notre Dame weird. Matches up well with them. I mean, in terms of UConn's better, but Notre Dame, I think, can beat them. You know, I don't think that, you know, Mississippi State, of course, can beat them. They did it last year. But I think the UConn girls, after losing last year and not winning at all, I think they're pretty focused that that's not going to happen right. again. And so it will be kind of hard to believe that them losing this year. But, you know, Asia Wilson, it was great to see her finish out her career. I mean, she's on the Mount Rushmore for Gamecock athletes in terms of what she's done. Deshaun Watson had a great tweet, tweeted her on after the game and kind of congratulated her on a great career. I thought that was pretty classy of Deshaun to recognize just how special she is. And I thought the announcers made a great point. Actually, the studio guy made a great point about Asia Wilson after the game was over and said, you know, she's sad now. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, she is from Columbia. She went to Carolina, and she brought to a national title. She's the all-time leading scorer, and that 25 years from now, she'll be walking around, and people will still be coming up to her, thank her about what she did for the program, the state, all those things. So she always will. She got her goal. She got her national championship ring, and so you know, it's a great career for her.
Wilson finished with 27 points, 8 rebounds. Alexis Jennings finished with 15 points and 3 rebounds. So the Gamecocks' top two forwards had 42 of their 65 points. So it's not like Asia Wilson went out there and laid an egg, because she didn't. She played 34 minutes and played her butt off. And I'm gonna throw this out there. You mentioned the Mount Rushmore. She may be in the Mount Rushmore of athletes from this state by the time she's done, because as young as she is, she could probably, she's got a WNBA career ahead of her, and she may get to play in 3 different Olympics.
Yeah.
So, you know, Team USA normally dominates the Olympics, now barring injury, but I'm just saying, by the time her career is up, she may be one of the best athletes from the state of South Carolina ever. I'm not that far-fetched when I'm saying that. Just look at what she did. I mean, she was, you know, a 3-time All-AAP player, just an amazing player. And, you know, I have no problem with respecting a young lady like that. And it's kind of sad she's graduating, but every kid gets to move on. I feel like she is the Gamecock version of Deshaun Watson. All the Gamecock fans love her. All the Gamecock fans are sad that she's leaving, the same way that Clemson is with Deshaun Watson. My goodness, man, this guy is leaving us. And you want, you know, if you're wanting someone to carry the, you know, they carry like the Olympic flags into the whatever. Asia Wilson, if you're going to pick an athlete from South Carolina, that's the one that carries the Gamecock flag, in my opinion. It just doesn't get much better than that.
What's cool is, you know, Alex English tweeted the other day that she's the best basketball player in Gamecock history, like men and women.
Can't really argue that.
And what's pretty cool is that Alex English is from Columbia, went to Columbia High School, went to Carolina. He wore number 22 in college.
Yeah.
Asia Wilson from Columbia went to Carolina, wore number 22 in college. If you go into the Colonial Life Arena, you'll see 22. Alex English retired, and I'm pretty sure that Asia Wilson's number 22 will be retired shortly. So it'll be pretty cool that both 22s on men and women's sides, both retired, both from Columbia, played their high school ball here, and they're both the best basketball players in school history in terms of, you know, men and women. So, but Alex English, you know, was remarking about how special she was, and if he says that, then I'll go with Alex English.
I'm not going to go against the Hall of Famer. I don't argue with that. Clemson fired their basketball coach, their women's basketball coach, Audra Smith. Our buddy Lewis Boland said she needed some more time. She was 9 and horrible in ACC play. Yeah. And won one conference game this year. Last year they finished 15-16, and you thought, all right, they might be turning the corner. It's just sad for women's hoops up there at Clemson. They've been horrible since Coach Davis left. Christy McKinney was bad. Arturo Coleman was bad. And we thought we were going to turn the corner here with Coach Smith. Now it's at the point with, like, they put out there, we're going to have a national search for our coach. Who the hell wants to come to that program right now? They won one conference game. I mean, it's tough to sell that. Hopefully it's somebody that wants to watch some championship football. I mean, that's the selling point. They should send Dabo on the coaching search. Dabo needs, we need to send Dabo and Jeff Scott to recruit a Clemson women's coach, because Arturo's Coach Smith was at UAB before she got here. Now, Clemson's an ACC school, and I'm not trying to ride conference nuts here, but Arturo's, she was 139 and 139 at UAB. That is mediocre. 500 coach, that's what we got. We've got to find somebody that is better. I would go and offer UConn's top assistant, or I would offer the coach that Cincinnati fired, who was one of Gino Auriemma's players. I would go that route. I would go to Columbia and get Coach Staley's top assistant. We're at that point. We're at that juncture right now as far as Clemson women's hoops go. I mean, we are 18 shades of awful, and there's nowhere to go but up. So, anyway, not to rant on that. Last thing, Mike, I got for you this evening. Final Four is on Saturday. I thought we'd go ahead and get our picks in here against the spread. Loyola, Chicago, and Michigan will tip off at 6:05. Line is at 5.5 for Michigan. Mike, who you got?
I took Michigan to the final game, but Loyola's for real. For real. They're not a fluke Cinderella team that's winning things with mirrors and magic dust. They're for real, how they play. I think they beat Michigan. I think they beat them.
So Loyola Chicago will win over Michigan, according to Mike. I'm taking Michigan. I think Loyola Chicago will cover the 5.5. Kansas and Villanova, I'll pick first. I pick Villanova to start the bracket. I think they're going to beat the holy hell out of Kansas. I think Kansas is going to try to think that they can run up and down the floor with them. You cannot run up and down the floor with Villanova. The way to beat Villanova, in my opinion, is they're going to have to beat Villanova. By beat, I mean slap them around. They've got to make the game physical. And if you don't, if you try to run with those guards like Alabama did, Avery Johnson was dumb as hell when they matched up in the second round, thinking, well, I'll just run my SEC guards out there. And boom, it's just going to work. Nah, that's not happening, sir. You lost by 30. The same thing could happen to Kansas. I don't think they'll lose by 30, but I'm going to take Villanova and give up the 5. I think they win by 15 points.
Yeah, I think Nova's is too good. I mean, they're just a great coach, great players. They play just a great team concept. No real superstars in terms of, you know, a guy who has to dominate the ball. They go with the guy who's got the hot hand. So I don't see how they lose this game. I think they beat him pretty good, like you said. So I think Nova will move on.
All right. Well, there's your Final Four picks. After that, we are not doing a show on Easter. So real quick, Mike, we'll do the pick here for the championship game. I like Villanova over Loyola and Michigan. I think they're going to beat whoever comes out of it. Do you agree?
I think Nova's the best team, and I think they'll probably win. But I tell you right now, it would not shock me if Loyola beat them. And I think it'd be great. Like, I really want to see a Villanova versus Loyola game on Monday night. I think it'd be really cool to see that kind of David versus Goliath school. Okay, I think they would be unbelievable in the ratings. I think the Nova-Loyola game would be much better rating-wise than Nova-Michigan. I think you're going to have people, you know, watching that. And I think that'd be a great, great game. I think Nova probably wins, but it wouldn't shock me if Loyola came down, hit a shot at the buzzer to beat him, and went away with a national championship. How cool would that be? Loyola Chicago winning it all. And I think it's very possible. They're not like a – you bring up George Mason and everything. Okay, George Mason was a good team that played well and won some games, kind of fluky, and got there. Loyola Chicago really is a good team. And it's just that we don't see them all year long because they play all that stuff. But they're right. A good team. Not as good as Villanova, but they can beat Villanova. So it'd be interesting to see that game. I'm just hoping for that game Monday night. Nova, Loyola, that'd be must-watch TV.
Shout out to my coach, Laura Heath. She's watching us online. Love me some Coach Heath, man. Last thing, I said this has been the last thing earlier, but Gamecock baseball team plays Tennessee this weekend. We don't have to break down the whole thing, Mike. I think the Gamecocks will take 2 of 3. I think they're going to break the series streak this weekend, especially if Adam Hill's on the mound. What do you think, Mike?
I'm going to say we get swept. Only because if I say that, maybe, because I've been jinxing this team, I'm going to say we get swept and score 3 runs all damn series. Because I hope the baseball gods can turn it around and we pound Tennessee like we pound their football team, okay? And we pound them and sweep them and get back on track. So my prediction is Gamecocks lose 3 in a row. We get outscored 18-3 in the series. That's my prediction.
Well,
take that, baseball gods.
Thursday game for Clemson has been moved to 4 o'clock due to inclement weather. They play a series with Boston College. I expect Clemson to sweep this series. Boston College is not a good baseball team. So Boston College comes in. They get their sweep and they get home. Clemson plays 4 o'clock Thursday, then Friday at 6:30. And Saturday at 2. So but, I think Clemson.
By the way, Saturday is a great day to be in Columbia. Okay, you have the spring game going on, and then you have Tennessee and the Gamecocks playing the last game of the series. They don't play on Sunday, and so you know I'm going to try doing both of them. My dad will be in town, Papa Comrade, coming in from Arizona, the land of the Sun Devils, and he'll be in town. So we're going to try catching the baseball game in the evening. And I'll be down for the spring game. I'm not sure he's coming to the spring game or not. I got to see what he's doing with that. And we have some baseball games, too, of the
little
people that day, too. So it's a busy Saturday, but we're going to try getting to the Gamecock baseball game at night. So it's a cool day to be in Columbia. The weather supposed to be perfect. So springtime, the Masters coming up, baseball's in full bloom with Major League Baseball. So this is a great sports time. My favorite sports time of the year right now is we're hitting April. This is my favorite time of year.
All right. Well, with that, Comrade, the show is a wrap.
Thanks for listening to the Rob and Comrade podcast. Follow Rob on Twitter at Rob Sounds Good and follow the Comrade at the Pesky Pole.
You're still here? It's over. Go home. Go.